Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and always we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, is a wonderful day. These days happen every once in a while where you just wake up and go, wow, it happened again. An incredible situation in my life happened again. And I don't tell you this to impress you, but to impress upon you, you should be having these kinds of days where you wake up and go, holy smokes, I can't believe it happened again. Those are the kinds of days you live for, man. And so what am I talking about? Well, let's go back to the beginning here. Something that I've taught you for 35 years now on the radio and in live classes is that you need to have what we call a family office. Now, for those of you that are just beginning wealth builders, you don't even have any idea what that means. For those of you wealthy, you know exactly what we're talking about. What wealthy people do, for those of you that aren't there yet, is we have a monthly financial review of our finances. We look at all of our investments individually and see how they're doing. We keep spreadsheets of our monthly income from each and every investment and business we have. And we track them down and put them into some kind of a carrying spreadsheet as to how much money we're making per month, added up total towards the year. And then ultimately, at the end of the year, we've got that to turn over to our tax accountant. Because it gets complicated when you get wealthy. You have lots of different things going on. But what I suggest to you, if you're a beginner, is that I started doing this right when I was starting out. When I bought my first rent house, I literally set it up like it was a business. No, I didn't start a company. I didn't set up an LLC or anything like that. I just went out and got myself a different checking account that wasn't a part of my personal checking account. And myself and my wife and whoever I was with ever in between all these different relationships, no one ever touched that bank account. That was my business bank account. And every month, the money I made from my investments went into that account. Now, later on, as I became more sophisticated, I have many, many, many of those accounts. In fact, it's some ridiculous thing like, I think it's just 28, 29 companies I own right now. And so each and every company, you look at it, see, okay, what are the financials for that company this month? How did we do? And I would stick it into a spreadsheet. Actually, now I have my CFO stick it into that spreadsheet for me just to make it easier because there's so much of it. It's a full-time job to track it. For you, though, it's going to be a simple spreadsheet. I got my one rent house. I got my two rent houses. I got my third rent house. I got my fourth rent house, whatever you got. I got my first small apartment complex. I've got my savings accounts over here I'm watching, right? I've got a little stocks and bonds over here. Maybe you got a 401k. And you're looking at all these things and you're analyzing them and figuring out what they're doing for you in your life. Very quickly, I analyze it. The 401k gave me nothing. Every single month, I wake up and I look at the cash account and go, wow, I have no more cash. In fact, my paycheck was smaller because they took money out of my paycheck to put it in the 401k. And I go, you know, this just doesn't make any sense. I'd rather have the money myself, especially since I know how to invest it. And so I stopped my 401k very early on in my life and got it out as soon as I could. So now you have this situation where you're not contributing 401k. Well, how do you save for retirement? Very simple. You save. The word is save. A lot of you like the 401k because it takes the money out before you ever see it or before your spouse can see it, which seems to be the right way to do it for some people. For me, I've never had that problem. Money comes in, and I take 10% of whatever it is that comes in, and I put it in the savings. Boom. And when I was younger and I had no overhead, I might take 50% of it. Boom. I didn't need the money. I paid my bills. Whatever was left over, I just saved it. I didn't do stuff. I wasn't a crazy buyer of things. I didn't need fancy clothes, fancy cars, fancy jewelry. I didn't need any of that stuff. So it was very easy for me to save. Now, I understand if you've got somebody in your family that is a spender, it's a big challenge. I understand that. But that big challenge is going to lead to you being very, very poor, very unhappy, very middle class at best. I know that my wife's got some relatives and they're having some challenges. And I know other people have friends and family have challenges. And they're all thinking about, well, let's just become socialists. Let's take all the money away from all the people that worked hard and smart and got it, and we'll give it away to all the poor people. You realize if you do that in no time at all, the poor people will have spent it all. Nobody will have any money. Everybody will be poor. Because it's not about how much money you make. It's about how much money you spend. And so the first part of this whole thing is you got to learn how to live on less than what you earn. Doesn't matter what you earn. Say, well, you can't do that. Hold on. If tomorrow the government changed the taxes to 50% of everything you earned, you would pay it and you would still survive. If tomorrow you had no job, you would survive. You would eat somewhere. You would go to your parents' house and live with them, or you'd go to a friend's house and stay with them. You would survive. You can survive on zero, guys. You can. The problem is once you make any money at all, then you stop thinking that way and start spending as if, okay, now I got money. And the second you've got money, then I need a place to live. The second you got money, then I need a car. The second you got money and you start buying stuff. Or you start spending the money on stuff that you don't need to. You can eat next to nothing. Rice and beans and live forever. Live on rice and beans, nothing. Right? Can of tuna fish a day was enough protein for you. And yet you don't. You go out and spend $30 for a hamburger, $25 at McDonald's, $20 here or there just to go eat garbage food that doesn't make you healthy. Yes, I'm preaching. I understand that. But it's a point that this is the breaking point where it all starts. I'm going to get into where it all ends in a minute here. And that's the exciting part. But you will never get to that point if you can't learn how to keep your costs down. What is the most expensive thing I've seen people buy? I would say kids. You know, just think about how much it is to raise a kid. Each and every one you add to your family, it's very expensive. Now that I'm wealthy, I wish I had more of them. And the truth of the matter is, if I would have realized that when I was younger, I was wealthy by the time I was 35 years old, I should have probably got three or four more right then because I could afford them. Problem is, I got my first one when I couldn't afford it, and I was like, man, this is painful. And it kind of killed the whole urge to want to do it because it hurt so bad financially to have a kid. And it was one of those, you know, you love them, but they weren't planned for kids. And now that I have her, I love her to death. But the bottom line is that back then, it just financially couldn't deal with it. Well, I did deal with it, and that's the point I'm making to you. You will because you have to. And so if you don't have to, why don't you just do it as if? In other words, why don't you just as if you have one more kid? And whatever money you would have to have spent on a kid this month on food and clothes and this and that, save it. Maybe someday you'll have that extra kid. But by the time you have that extra kid or two or three, you'll have the money to support them in the life you'd love them to live in, right? But you have to get started somewhere. And then you have to invest. But my point to you for the rest of you is a lot of you do that. They take that first step one, step two, and they go buy a rent house, and then they just stop. One just goes, oh, my God, this is a pain in the butt to do. I don't really want to do it. And that's the wrong attitude. You should be making money with that. You should be looking at the joy of making the money every month. Instead, you just forget about it. Pretend it goes in there, they pay you money in the mail. You go, wow, okay, it's good. I'm done. Maybe you buy two or three. And somewhere along the way, you do something wrong. Very easy to do stuff wrong. There's more ways to do stuff wrong than there is to do right. And if you don't come to a class like ours and learn all those things and avoid them up front, then maybe you run into one or two of them, and then that sours the whole dough, you know? Oh, my God, look at this. This happened. Well, that wouldn't have happened if you would have done this. Oh, well, I didn't know that. Well, you should have known that. That's why you get educated before you go do something. When all of the planning and saving and so forth comes to fruition into setting up the situation in your family office, if you've just tuned in and you don't know what a family office is, family office is where you sit down every month with your family or the people that understand the finances in your family, and you go over what you have. And you analyze, is our money doing the right thing for us? Should we be doing something else with our money? And that's what a family office is. They do that every month. They run their family like it's a business. Hey, we've got this really expensive credit card over here. We better pay that thing off. I mean, we're paying 21% on that, and we're only paying 5% on our savings accounts. Pay that thing off. That's ridiculous. We shouldn't be paying that much interest. Making decisions like that. And how to do that? Well, we don't want to lose all of our liquidity, so let's pay it off in some, you know, payments and chunk payments, or let's move some money from here, move there, whatever. Whatever it is, you're making these financial decisions on a monthly basis. And the wealthier you get, the easier those decisions are, I agree. But they will happen even at the beginning wealth-building stages, that you'll run into this next example that I'm bringing up, what I call the aha day. The aha day is when you wake up one day and you're doing your family office review, and you go, wow, it's time. We got to make a move. The money is not in the right place anymore. What can we do? So I'm looking at my family office, and I'm seeing my savings accounts are earning 5.5% interest back last year, 6 months ago, whatever. And that interest starts going down. Banks saying, hey, you know, we're changing your savings account interest rate from 5.5% to 5% to 4.9% to 4.8% to 4.7% to 4.6%. And I watched that go down for the last 6 months as interest rates came down and the thought and fear of interest rates coming down. And remember, interest rates up or down are positive and negative for two sides. There's a positive and a negative to that side. If you're collecting the interest, you like higher interest rates. If you're paying interest, you want lower interest rates. Everybody seems to think that interest rates make a difference. It only makes a difference if you're on the wrong side of the ledger. So as a borrower, I like low interest rates, and I start borrowing. I borrow money when I can get it at cheap rates. On the other side, when interest rates are high, I'm saving money because I'm getting paid a lot to save my money. So as I see my average, and I own 20, 30 different savings accounts, because you can't keep more than $250,000 in a savings account and have it secure by the FDIC. Now, if you have a husband and wife, you can have $500,000 in there. And so, you know, you think about it, you get 20 accounts, you can get about whatever it'd be, $10 million in there at that rate. If you've got, you know, 20 or 30 million, you got to have a lot of accounts. And otherwise, you're taking FDIC risk or risk thereof that there is not. So you have to look at that. You have to understand that, right? Now, as I move through this, I start seeing my interest rates going down. I'm thinking, time to be looking for some other investments. But while that was happening, I want you to listen carefully to this because this is high-end information you just don't get over the radio. I'm speaking now from, I'm moving my conversation from the people at the bottom here over to the people at the top and say, look, guys, when you're sitting here seeing these interest rates starting to go down, you're thinking, my savings accounts, which is my retirement accounts, are starting to earn less. But wait, shouldn't I be able to go and buy commercial real estate investments cheaper or houses cheaper? And the answer is no. When the interest rates start to drop, the prices on real estate start to go back up. Now, interest rates went up really high and brought the prices of real estate way down. So you say, well, why weren't you buying? I was. Every time I could get the right deal, I was buying during this downward trend for the last 2 years. But when the interest rates turned and they started coming back down, then everybody's going, oh, my God, now that interest rates are going down, that means prices can go back up again. People are getting excited. Well, luckily for me, I didn't buy anything right when that started happening, thinking, man, the prices are going back up again. That's quite a bit more, 10, 20% more than what I was paying for properties just 2 months ago. And then all of a sudden it happened. You knew it would eventually happen. Trump messes with the economy enough that people start to think they're going to starve. You get the government shut down. You get tariffs scaring everybody to death. They can't afford anything. And people get scared and they stop spending. The goes down and the economy goes down and prices go back down. And I saw this thing come across my desk at an interest rate. At a rate of return that was so high, I go, oh my gosh. And I'm thinking, I'll take that. But instead of saying, I'll take that, I went and lowered the price on the deal another $500,000 and sent an offer over to the broker. Now, the broker knows me because I bought many different things from the broker. So he knew I was real, offered him the offer, and I thought he'd come back and counter. Instead, I got an email that said, "Dell, I can deliver this for you at that price. Do you want to buy it?" And I thought, I'm getting a property at the lowest price I've bought one ever, right? Ever. The lowest price I bought for this type of piece of real estate ever. And I'm getting it when interest rates are going down. This is insane. I got to take it. So there it is. I wake up. I'm confronted. I've been on top of my family, plan here, my business plan, my family office. My family office says we're in the buy mode. Look for something to buy. Boom, something pops up. You know, stuff pops up every day. You just don't take advantage of it because you're thinking, that's not that much better than where I'm at. But here, because the economy is so bad, because things are so hard to sell, because everything is just going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, the interest rates being down didn't even stop the prices from coming down. And so there it is. I'm able to snag another great investment, one that will pay me for the next 15, 20 years of my life. I'm 70 years old. I'll be 90. I'll still be making money. Come on, guys. Think about this. But I had to be ready. I had to know. I had to be able and willing to take action. Right? And to do that, I first of all had to track it. Number two, I had to save money. And by the way, what's even more interesting is that the business that I'm buying is being purchased by other businesses I already bought. They're out of cash sitting in their accounts because they make so much money and I never take any of it out. I just think, okay, I better pull some money out of some of these businesses and go buy another one. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it didn't even come out of my personal accounts. It came out of my business accounts. That's how crazy this stuff gets once you get there. But it's never going to get there if you don't buy that first rent house. Take that short break. Be right back with the Dell Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Dell Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Working hard but still falling behind? Learn how real estate investing can help you build income and move forward with purpose. Text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Dell Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Dell Wamsley.
Welcome back to Dell Wamsley Radio Show. Today we've been talking about working in the family office and when it's time to go ahead and buy another property. I've run into that situation where all of the information in the world has crossed paths to make it absolutely perfect for me to buy something. I found a property. It was an incredible property, priced at a very, very low price. And I found that during a time when interest rates were on the way down, and I found that right when I found that all my savings money was starting to not make as much because my money sitting in savings is went from 5.5, all the way down to right now, the average is about 3.5 on these savings accounts. So that's quite a bit of change, right? That's quite a high percentage of change from 5 to 3. It's about a 40% reduction in income on my savings account. So it's time to move my money. So I'm just trying to teach you that you got to be doing the same thing. Looking for other opportunities for your money. First, you have to have money to look for opportunities for, though. And that's why we talked about savings in the first segment. But getting back to this here, I have an email it's an interesting and typical kind of question you'd have for the family office situation. Guy writes me, he says, I own 100 acres of raw land in Texas. It's about 13 miles south of a small town. There's only 13,000 people there. So in other words, there's nothing you can do with this piece of land, no matter what he thinks, okay? Going on, it's worth about five times what I paid for it. I go, okay, based on what? And then he goes, if, big if, capital letters, I parcel it up. I don't want a one-time payout. I'd like to become a passive revenue stream. Any suggestions? Do real estate developers partner with private landowners? So I understand what he's saying. What he'd love to do is sell those lots off owner-financed and have a long-term stream of income. And if they couldn't pay and they stopped paying, take them back and do it again. That would be the ideal situation. The challenge on that plan, which I like that plan, but the challenge with that plan is it lives in a town where there's only 13,000 people, and none of those people are going to have the money to go buy a lot and then build their own home. It just isn't going to happen. You got to only do development in places where everybody wants to live, where there's high demand for housing, and that isn't where he's talking about. So his land is virtually useless, is what it is. So then he says, well, can you get a developer to work with you? Because if it, you know, think about it. If you own this raw land, it's not making him any money right now. He's paying property taxes on it, unless he's got grazing rights or something going on it. There might be some. Sometimes they take it with 100 acres. You could stick some cattle out there, let somebody else rent the land for some cattle, and that becomes some long-term income. Not that high, but I've seen people do that. And that's how they hold on to land and pay the taxes. So plus it gets an ag exemption, and so there you go. That's a better way to play that game. However, he asks a question. I'm going to answer for him. He says, will developers work with you? And I've seen deals, yes, where a developer will come in and say, I'll tell you what, we'll partner in a deal, we'll create an LLC, and we'll bring the land in as an asset. And then we can go to the bank and get a loan against the asset, the land, to get enough money to go ahead and develop the lots. Now, what do you mean develop? You can't sell lots unless you have a sewer system, an electrical system, and a gas system delivered to those units. And so you have to, first of all, plot each lot, and there's no plotting. You say, yes, he hasn't plotted it yet. You'd have to plot the lots, record the lots. That all costs money. Then you'd have to come in and bring in roads. You need roads. The thing is useless without roads. And then you'd have to come in and bring utilities in. So you'd have to bring in water, sewer, gas, and electricity. And until you've done all that, those lots are basically useless. They're just dirt in the middle of nowhere next to a city of 13,000 people who probably can't afford to buy a car, let alone buy a house. So the theory, in theory, this sounds really good. If I were him, I would just see if he says, I could get five times as much if I parceled it. Well, of course you get five times as much because you've doubled or tripled the cost of what you have in it. If I was him, I'd just sell it, get the money, and go do something that does work. But if he wants to hang on to it, you've seen people hang on to stuff like this for years. Now, maybe if you hang on to it for 20 more years, maybe that 13,000 people city grows to 50,000 people, and maybe then they need some housing out there, and maybe then a developer will come in and work with you. Now, the thing is, I've seen with developers working with people, they've taken their land, used it to collateralize a deal like this, and then the builder goes bankrupt. And the lot was used as collateral to get the loan to do the construction. So what happens? You lose the lot, you lose the land. I've seen so many people do this because developing properties is not an easy thing to do. Everybody thinks it is. It looks so easy, right? But it's not. The carrying costs, the overhead, the government regulations, they're all challenging. And if you happen to pull this off during a time when there's a recessional situation about to occur, like we may have right now, I mean, Trump may drive this country into a massive recession. You say, well, no, I'm a Republican. I don't believe any of that. Look, let me tell you something you need to understand. Don't believe everything you hear, even from your friends. The reason I'm a libertarian is because I don't believe what Democrats say at all. I know that every time their mouth is moving, they're lying. But at the same time, I don't believe everything Trump says. In fact, I love what he's doing with certain parts of, you know, his power he's taken over. But he's also made some decisions that have not solved problems for people. And what's going to happen is that, and this is just my opinion, is that because he's so rich person-centric and government-centric and country-centric, there's no people-centric. And so the people will vote him out. The Democrats will take power of the Congress, you know, the House, in this next election, and he won't be able to get any of his agenda passed. And he'll keep trying to do everything by fiat, by him just demanding to do it, presidential decree, and they will shut him down at some point. They will vote and say, you can't do that. They'll try to impeach him for doing stuff that they say is illegal. They will just make his life a living hell. While all that goes on, who suffers? We all suffer. And you'll see, if you go start a business during that time, it'll be very difficult. Now, owning a rent house won't be that problematic, but starting a business that isn't there, like trying to develop something when the changing tide of political power is going on. If the Dems get in, they shut everything down. They don't want anything built. They don't want anything developed. They don't want anybody to make any money. They want the government to do it all so that they can have control over your lives. So there you go. Again, just a little side information here. Why am I successful? Part of it is because I saved. Part of it is because I invested. Part of it's because I invested wisely into decent investments. And part of it's because I stayed away from bad investments and bad stuff that didn't make sense. When I was young, I didn't have that much knowledge and information of what was bad. But through the years, 35 years of investing in real estate, 50,000 clients all trying to figure out how to do it wrong. Boy, I saw a lot of wrong things and just incorporated them into my bag of ideas. And my bag said, don't do that, because I've seen somebody else lose their boot behind on it, right? And so as we go into this stuff, you got to make these kinds of decisions. This is a big one for this gentleman right here. He's got to do something, because that land isn't making him any money. That land is, no matter what it's worth, I have no idea what 100 acres in the middle of nowhere would be worth, but he's got all this land. It should be worth something. He should be able to do something. He should be able to make some money with it, but he's making no money at all. And so I sent him off to a couple other people and, you know, hey, get out there and look and see if there's somebody who can give you an answer to this thing. But from what I'm seeing from the outside, I wouldn't invest in the deal the way he's explaining it. So good luck for him, and I hope he figures it out. If nothing else, sir, sell that land. Take that capital gain, and we'll get you into something to make some money. All right, next question. What's our timetable here? All right, we've got a minute. Guy says, I live in Washington State, and I'm planning on retiring in about a year. I would like to know if it's feasible to start investing in real estate, probably passively, during my retirement. Okay, quick caveat. Washington State, Oregon State, California, we do not invest in real estate. Why? Because the governments are so leftist that the laws are so slanted against landlords and business owners that we just don't go there. I mean, if you have any common sense at all, you don't go there. All right. The first thing I suggest you do is you get down to lifestyles. And, you know, this sounds like a sales pitch, but this really isn't. First thing you should do is come in and take the free seminar or upgrade to the full seminar, because you need to know what the heck we do. For that small amount of money, you can learn what we do, how we do it, both for single family and multifamily. And most of all, watch out for all the stuff you shouldn't do and get a good idea, clear. This two-day seminar is going to leave you with enough information to locate, evaluate, to negotiate, to contract, to close, to operate both single family and multifamily properties. That's what's important. Whether or not you decide you want our consulting, whether or not you want to do deals within our environment, whether any of the other stuff is not important. Before you go buy real estate, take that class. That's all I can tell you. No one has ever come back from that class and told me that was a waste of their money. Everybody's come out of there said, even if I knew a lot before I went in, I learned stuff. It's important. Okay? That's number one thing to do. Get over there. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com. I think you can still text the word radio to 88007. I think that's still available. But either way, go to lifestylesunlimited.com or text the word radio to 88007 and see if that link's still connected. But the bottom line is get in here, get started. Now what? Now, if you're not going to dig into your accounts, right, and he says he'd probably rather be passive, then in that situation, you're going to learn how to, first of all, evaluate deals so you know which deals you want to get into. Number two, evaluate the syndicators, or what we call the lead investors, the people doing the deal, and evaluate whether or not you want to do a deal with them or not. Are you with me? That's important, because if you don't know how to decide what deals to do and how to evaluate the deal and the syndicator, then you're just blindly pumping money out into something else in space. You just don't know what you're doing. That's not a suggested practice. You want to be able to make logical decisions on these things. So that's step one. Now, once you get that, especially if you're going to be passive, you're probably going to be investing in chunks of $25,000, $50,000, $100,000. Those seem to be the three size chunks most people invest per deal. I've seen some guys go up to $200. I've even seen a guy or two go up to $500. But the only way somebody would want to put $500,000 in any one deal is if they've got tens of millions and it's nothing to them. You know, if they lost it, they wouldn't sleep. You never want to invest more into any one deal than if you ever lost it, you couldn't live without it. Your life wouldn't be changed. So you take the size increments that you can take that are not going to create a devastation for you. So why don't, are you telling me real estate's bad? No, what I'm saying is that when I own my own real estate, I can make my own decisions. It's a lot safer. And the reason it's safer is because if something goes wrong, I know I'll go back to Dell's mentors or Dell and let them tell me what to do and help me work my way out of it if it's at all possible, if it's possible. But if I'm with somebody else, I don't know that. If something goes wrong, their ego might get in the way and they want to go admit that they don't know what the heck to do, even though they put themselves out there as a leader, as a business leader, with all this extra knowledge around them, they don't want to go back and get it. And sometimes they just won't do it because it's counterproductive to them. What's right for the deal is wrong for them. And if you own the deals yourself, you don't have that problem. You come to me, we figure it out. You come to one of my staff members, we figure it out. And we take the right steps and get you as, you know, we get you where you should be as easily as we possibly can. I don't know if easily is the right word for it. Might be painful. But the bottom line is that if there's something that goes wrong, we got to get in there and work at it and change it and fix it. If you're with someone else, you don't know you could do that. So that's why you're going to invest in increments that you're not going to worry about. You're not going to lose sleep over in this situation. Now, as far as what to do in activity, oh my gosh, there's nothing more fun than being a part of this group, the activity levels, getting to meet thousands of other people that do just what you do, finding hundreds that you've, you know, really like, and then usually you find 10 or 20 that you really become close friends with. And what happens is once you get to that point, these people travel together. They go all over the world. I know I go all over the world with people at Lifestyles. We just travel all over and spend time. We do things, go to events together. It's amazing. Some of them become even closer than that, more family-like. I'm just not that family kind of guy, but a lot of people are. And so they get very, very close together. But what it does do is give you something to do, that's for sure, because there's events all the time. There's educational classes you can go to. There's road trips you can go to. There's what we call ambassador events. In other words, we have offices in Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio because that's where we started. We started in Houston, Texas. But we have members all over the country. We have members in all 50 states. So what we did instead of buying an office, which is very expensive, putting an office up in every city we ever have a member in, because you got to have a density of members to be able to afford an office. We just went ahead and created ambassadorships where people in those areas started putting events together, and they'll get their group together once a month or sometimes even more. But, you know, at least once a month, they'll have an event where they can all get together and network. It's a wonderful thing. Gives you something to do, gives you somebody to network with, gives you confidence to talk to other people just like yourself, ask them questions. And so you've got our mentors and you've got our consultants and you've got our educational team, but you've also got your members, our members, which become your friends. That's step number one. And I sure hope you get out there and take it. For the rest of you out there, remember this, it's not just the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll
listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.